You would turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be reading from there in a couple of minutes. Philippians chapter 1. It's really kind of interesting. We've been doing a study on the life of Paul in the adult class downstairs. And some of the things we talked about this morning are things that I am going to be, or God's going to be addressing, and probably putting a punctuation mark on some of the things we already studied for our Sunday school lesson this morning. But I think it's neat the way God does what He wants to do in our lives. And the title of our message this morning is, God Will Accomplish It. He will accomplish it. What He wants to have take place, He will bring it about, especially in our lives. Several years ago, a long time ago, I trained to be a VISTA volunteer on an Indian reservation in northern Wyoming. Part of that was a training program that was very intensive for 3 weeks. We were in Denver, Colorado for a while, and then we ended up our training program on the Crow Indian Reservation, which is in the eastern part of Montana. And that was also very intense too, going through some practical things, working with the tribe there, and getting a feel for what we were going to be involved with when we went to our permanent assignments. While there at the end, we had a chance to kind of relax, if you will, toward the end of our training. They have powwows. A lot of tribes have big powwows, and they have what they call the Crow Fair, which is a very big, big powwow. Tribes from all over the United States come to here, and there are thousands of people there with teepees set up everywhere. And in the midst of all of this, as I'm walking around through this powwow and all these teepees, everybody kind of gets this, there's this hush that comes over the crowd. And as we look up, there is this guy coming in on his horse. And as he comes in on his horse, this is what he looked like. His name was Timberjack Joe. And Timberjack Joe had that little fox, and he had his horse, and behind him was a pack horse loaded down with furs. And Timberjack Joe was a, quote, real mountain man. He lived up in the mountains of northern Wyoming, and he would spend his winters there trapping, coming down in the summer, and he would attend these powwows, set up his teepee, and he would barter with the Indians for things that they had there that they wanted for those furs. Very interesting man. He was a married man, had a family in the northern part of, northeast part of Wyoming, but Timberjack Joe was a true mountain man. And I thought, I met him, talked with him, got fascinated by him, and guess what? I wanted to be a mountain man. I was going to go back west after my training. I was going to live in the mountains, and I was going to be a trapper just like Timberjack Joe. For years, I would tell my wife about this fabulous man that I had met out there, and I always told her about Timberjack Joe. She never believed me. I can't imagine why. But I remember one day we were in Fort Madison at one of the antique places, and I found this book about Western history, and I'm thumbing through there, and I looked up, and guess what? That picture was in that book. And I said, honey, there he is. That's Timberjack Joe. That's the guy I was talking about. I wanted to be like him. And I wanted to be like Timberjack Joe to go back there. I was a wannabe mountain man, but guess what? Here I am. Do I look like Timberjack Joe? No, I don't. It didn't happen. Sometimes the things that we desire in our lives don't happen. You ever notice that? I really wanted to someday go back to the West and to live there and be a mountain man just like Timberjack Joe. But you know what? God had other plans. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior after that, and I was now His. I was His workmanship to be used as He wanted in my life for His glory and His honor. And as I sought to serve Him, God took me on a totally different path. One thing I really was excited about was that God did allow Ann and I to go back west and live out there for 4.5 years. That's as close as I got to being a mountain man. But to serve Him was my heart and my passion. Father, we pray that You would open up our hearts to Your Word now as we look to You and we study Your Word, that You would teach us about how You will accomplish what is concerning us in our lives for Your glory and Your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of the first things I think that we have to learn is that we may want to be doing something, but you know what? God has things other than what we think about sometimes. God is in control. God is in control. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. A text, part of a text which we read this morning in Sunday school. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12 through 18. Paul, the great apostle, says, I want you to know, brothers, that my circumstances, the events of my life, have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I will rejoice. More than anything else, Paul's desire as a missionary was to preach the gospel, and he especially wanted to be able to preach it in Rome. He said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also, in a letter to them in Romans. Little did Paul know that he would get to Rome, but not as he expected. In your life, have you ever found that God doesn't always allow things to go as you planned or you hoped? You ever notice that? Things don't always go as you plan or as you hoped. And we talked about that this morning in Sunday school as well. Paul was a man who had a single-minded purpose in his life, and that was to proclaim and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what kept him going. That's what kept him from being deterred or from slowing down. A verse that reflects Paul's understanding of his mission, and I think that is also good for us today too, is one that's found in Psalm 138, and that verse is verse 8. God will do in my life and your life what he deems necessary for Christ to be seen and for him to be glorified. That verse is, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. We can take that verse to heart. God will do whatever's necessary in your life for Christ to be seen and for him to be glorified. In other words, he wants to be able to use your life for his honor and for his glory, in whatever way that he seems fit according to his plan. Now, Paul wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to be able to preach, but instead he went there as a prisoner. And he could have written a very long letter about what happened to him. But it's interesting in Philippians, instead he sums it all up by this one phrase. He says, my circumstances. My circumstances, the record of these things is given in Acts 21 and following. And it begins with Paul's his illegal arrest. One of the things that we see about it is that Paul was illegally arrested. He was also a prisoner for 2 years in Caesarea. He was then sent to Rome, and on his way to Rome, as you all know and we studied this morning, he was shipwrecked. So those are things that we would call his circumstances. He was there for 3 months on the island of Malta. He finally arrived in Rome, where according to Acts 28, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. He stayed there 2 full years. Paul was in his own rented quarters. God will accomplish what concerns me. God knew that Paul was supposed to be there in that prison. And during that time, he did not just sit idly by, but what did he do? He welcomed all who came to him. He preached the kingdom of God, and he taught concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with what? With all openness and unhindered. God accomplished for Paul what he wanted to have happen. That was, he wanted him to preach the gospel, but it was going to be while he was under guard. Yet God was able to use Paul in all of that because he's in control. He was still able to use his imprisonment to be able to share Christ with those around him. He was unhindered and he was open to be able to share Christ. To many of us, that would look like failure. We'd say, well, Paul, you're a prisoner. You weren't able to preach like you really wanted to. There's that God failed you, but not to this man. Paul did not find his joy in his ideal or any ideal circumstances. He found his joy in winning others to Jesus Christ. That's why he said, my circumstances have what? Turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. He was open to let God do what he wanted to do that concerned him in order that Jesus Christ be proclaimed. And he says, my circumstances have turned out for the greater good of the gospel. When you look at that aspect of it, and when Paul talks about it, he says, my circumstances have turned out for the greater, and there's an interesting word there, greater progress. Progress. That word progress, in the writing that Paul did, meant a pioneer advance. It really doesn't merely mean just moving ahead, but doing so against very difficult circumstances and obstacles. So his progress came at great cost. And when we look at Paul's life, we understand the difficulties he had. It was a word that was used to describe a pioneer explorer. Or it was in the army in Paul's days, it was an advance team that would go out and cut through the underbrush and cut through the trails to be able to make a way for the main army. That's what the pioneer spirit was. I'm amazed, as we lived in Wyoming, how many different pioneers there were. And we read some of their stories about the hardship that they went through, about the difficulties they went through. But Wyoming and Montana and other states out in the West were founded by hardy people who were pioneers. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be pioneers for him, to be willing to go through those difficult times and those obstacles. Paul found himself to be a pioneer in very new areas for the cause of Christ. In his ministry earlier, before he went to prison, Paul had, and we studied about this morning, which I thought was interesting, Paul had tried to enter another territory, but God, by the Holy Spirit, forbade him to go into that. That was Asia. And God says, no, I'm not going to let you go there. For whatever reason, we don't know. But he shut the door. Sometimes what we end up finding is that Paul in his life then went from Asia and he ended up in Macedonia and then what we would call today modern Europe. So God had a plan for him. He accomplished this in order to put Paul into Europe. And I think the thing we have to remember is that God often opens and he often shuts doors according to what? His perfect plan and will for our lives. We talked about it this morning. How does the Holy Spirit speak to us? How do we know that we're not supposed to go someplace? I think it was Ron that brought up, well, if you're scheduled to take an airport flight someplace and you get to the airport and your flight's been canceled because of snow or because of something else, what? That might be an obvious thing from God that he's delaying you, that your timing is going to be different than what you thought. But God can work in your life according to whatever he wants to be able to open and shut the doors according to his perfect will and plan. My concern is, am I willing to be open and sensitive to his opening and shutting those doors? Paul discovered that his circumstances really opened up brand new areas of ministry that would not have been there under any other circumstances. And so he got excited about that. The practical application for us is God wants you and me to be pioneers for him. And he wants us to take the gospel into new territories. I don't mean territories. How many of you feel called to be going to Africa to be a missionary? How many of you feel called to go to South America, to Rio, to be a missionary to the Olympians that were there? No, we aren't called to do that. That's a special calling. But that doesn't mean that God won't call you to do that. The new territories I'm talking about aren't just a new place. I'm talking about the location where you are right now. Within your location right now, God has new territories, people that he wants you to be involved with in order to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be able to be open to that. We're to take those, and He, allowing Him to arrange the circumstances, we've got to be willing to step into the opportunities that God might present. Think back on your life this week. Were there any times where God prompted you that maybe there was someone you were supposed to go talk to? Maybe there was someone that you saw that God was speaking to your spirit about that He wanted you to go up and talk or to be a part of their lives or to share something with them. That's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Those are the new territories that we have to be open to. And as you go into this, like Paul did, here's the understanding that Paul had. He knew that God is in control, but he also knew that the gospel is not restrained. It's not chained. It's not bound. That God will open up His word and His gospel to people everywhere if we're willing to do that. He's the same God who used Moses' rod. He's the same God who used those pitchers of Gideon. He's the same God who used David's sling against Goliath. He's the same God that was using Paul's chains to be able to share His message to the world around him. The Romans, I don't think, really understood this concept, that the chains that they put on Paul's wrists would actually allow Paul, instead of binding him, to be able to be open, to be able to share the gospel of Christ. Paul would later write in a Roman cell, in a dungeon, these words. He would say to us this, "The word of God is not imprisoned." He wrote this to Timothy while he was in prison. He said, "Timothy, the word of God is not in prison. I'm in chains, but the word of God isn't. It's being spread to those who are around him." That's the word that Paul boldly spoke. And he told the people in Corinth, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Here is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, he was raised on the third day according to those scriptures." That's the word of God that we too should be proclaiming. That's why when you memorize these verses, you can share something to those around you about that message. Very simply, Jesus took upon ourselves the sin of us. He died, he was buried, and guess what? He was resurrected. That's the good news, isn't it? That's the hope that we have, and that's the good news that we can share. Paul can say to his persecutors, when he was in that dungeon, as I'm sure he reflected back and he thought about somebody else hundreds of years earlier by the name of Joseph. Remember Joseph imprisoned? Joseph went through a very difficult time. Couldn't understand why this was all taking place. Eventually, God used Joseph to deliver not only the nation of Egypt, but also his own family. And because of God promising that he would use his life, Joseph, as his brothers and after they had sold him into slavery, came to this conclusion. He said, "It was not you, my brothers, who sent me here, but it was God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. God causes all things to work together for good in order that you might be able to share the gospel." And as Joseph had done that hundreds of years earlier in the prison, Paul was reminded of that. And he says, "I'm here because God placed me here, not because of men, but because God wants me to be here." So when we look at that, Paul did not complain about his chains, but he gave them to God, and he asked God to use them to further his gospel, which he did. And that opened up an opportunity for him to share. For every day that he was in that prison, as he went to the dungeon area, he was guarded by a soldier or two. And every 4 to 6 hours, they would change those men around. And these were called the Praetorian Guard. These were the elite guard. These were the kingmakers. They would later be the most powerful group in Rome during the time of Roman Empire. They were called the kingmakers. And Paul very specifically says he was in a Praetorian prison. Paul was speaking to these men of great influence. And we don't know how many, but I'm sure there were some who were saved. And guess what they would do? They would get on fire for Jesus Christ, and they would go out and they would share. And the people that they had influence over were mighty people. So the gospel, through Paul's imprisonment, was not chained, but it went out and spread throughout the world. Never, never underestimate, dear people, what God can do through you in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may never understand. D.L. Moody, when he was before he was saved, went to a Sunday school class. This guy that took him under went and picked up D.L. Moody every Sunday. D.L. Moody was the only student that this man had, and yet he faithfully talked to him about Jesus. D.L. Moody, under this man, became to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And now you know the rest of the story. One student. That's all that man had. But look at the influence that had, that God used. God will accomplish what concerns you and me. He'll use your circumstances to advance his gospel. Now, how many of you are in a job that you really, 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 really love? Oh, I don't see too many. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands, are in a position where you wish you could be someplace else and you really just can't stand it? Sometimes God may have you in a place like that. You may not like your job. You may not like the school you're attending. You may not like your neighborhood. But guess what? Because of that, God has you kind of chained up. He's got you chained up, as it were, to some people around you who need Jesus Christ. You're attached to them just like Paul was attached to that Praetorian Guard, 24/7. Different guards, but the same message was being proclaimed. You might be, by God, chained to someone that needs Jesus Christ. And he wants you to be open and share that person's with that person. Have you realized this? The place where you are right now is because God put you there. There are no mistakes. There are no coincidences. God has a plan, and he wants to advance his kingdom through you where you are, whether that's being a farmer, a teacher, whether you work in a factory, whether you drive a truck, whether you work as a computer tech, whatever it might be. God has you there to be able to share Jesus Christ with those around you. He has a plan, and he wants to advance that plan. Paul knew that God's word is powerful, and that he would accomplish what concerned him, no matter what the motives of others might be. That's because Paul understood that God always honors his word. He always honors his word. And the God says that his word will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. That's what we have to believe, as Paul did. God is in control, and that the gospel is not restrained. In closing, my challenge for you today is this, is to believe as David did, that God, the Lord, will accomplish what concerns you. Will you also believe that God wants you to have this same single-mindedness as Paul did, to trust God as you've never done before, and to look upon your circumstances as God-given opportunities to be able to further the gospel and to rejoice in what he is doing in your life? We're not called to be Paul, but each one of us here today is called to be a workman for Jesus Christ. You've been gifted, and you've been given talents to be able to be used for his glory. The question that I have for you is this. You are where God wants you to be. The question is, are you willing to allow God to be able to use your life for his glory? Be willing to be a pioneer for Jesus Christ. He will accomplish what concerns you. Father, thank you for your word to us. We pray that you would instill upon us this idea that we are where you want us to be. May we be willing vessels to be able to serve you with the gospel, in Jesus' name. Amen.